calculate that, and answer when n equals 10. Okay, so there's a long way and there's a short way. And did you discuss this over the break?
No.
What's that? Okay. Okay. Good.
Anyway.
Okay, so remember we've got two different representations. So any point in the plane can use the Cartesian coordinates x and y. But there's also these different coordinates, polar coordinates. Basically, we specify any point here by saying how far it is from the origin and what angle it is along in a counterclockwise or anticlockwise direction around from the positive x-axis. So we just need the two coordinates r and theta. And so what we're going to do is represent, instead of representing, I guess we have, okay, so good, this goes up. So really we have, let's say z in this case is I, call it, yeah, that's fine, z equals I plus 1. So that's really sort of analogous to x and y Cartesian. So we want to, transform it to polar coordinates. So we've got the actual two numbers, the r value here, and the theta value there. So the only thing to do is to put them all together. And so I'll tell you what the answer is. And it's again, it's in the back, very last bit on complex numbers in the math prime you'll memorize. And so what we do is, it's actually, we just put R here, and then we put, so I'll explain what this is, might seem kind of a bit weird, but the polar representation of this Z, so it's just a different way of doing it, is putting the R in front, and then the I theta here. So E is just exponentially, which is 2.78, or 7.71, thank you. I square root of minus 1, and theta the angle. So in this case, okay, so we have pi before that. Okay, so that's what we've, this is kind of the polar, so this is something very important to remember. So it's a different representation, okay. So, I mean, everything I say is important to remember, but this is particularly important to remember. So, it's a polar representation. So, it seems kind of weird. How can we actually believe it? So, what I guess I'd like to show you is by showing you that this makes sense. So, okay, so we use the big brush. It's a heavy duty. Okay. So I guess if we want to see, so that's sort of the general form, and we know that R is, okay, so they can't move. Okay, so we just substitute root 2 and pi before there. Get that. So what we want to do is somehow get back to I plus 1. And if we get back to I plus 1, so we know Z is I plus 1. It's just different representation. So I'm saying that these are exactly the same thing, they're just two different representations. So we want to kind of get back to the familiar one. So I guess the way to do that, again, I kind of think graphically, so if we plot this out, to remember every complex number, we can use one of these plots where we have the real axis and the imaginary axis. And so basically, theoretical physicists are inherently lazy, so sometimes we just call them the REXs, because we can't be bothered spelling the extra two letters. Sometimes, when, you know, we just change that to im or imag. Normally it's just im, the imaginary axis, so just the same thing. And so this is simple, just one unit long, one unit up, I here. And so this is what we have. So if we look at this, So that's what we have there. So there's also something called Euler's formula. So I see a lot of people were looking at that stuff over here. Did Sonia teach you about this?
No.
Right. Okay. So can I rub this off? Okay. So this is kind of out of order. But hopefully it'll make sense. So there's something, again, a really important formula. And where did my chalk go? Okay, so. Right. So a really important formula. And so. Has anyone seen anything that looks like that before?
No,
it's in the primer? Okay, so is that a yes? Okay, great. Okay, Euler's formula. So it kind of looked, remember when I first saw it, it looked like it came out of from nowhere, like magic. And so there are two ways. So basically I'm going to ask you to trust me on this one, because I'm a scientist and you can trust scientists. But I saw people were kind of writing power series there. If you actually want to understand this, so a few people, this will make sense, the people writing those power series is... So basically you can represent this as a power series and that as a power series and cos and sine as power series. And if you actually do that, and you add up these two power series, then it turns out you get the power series for that. So by a power series, I just mean a series of, for example, with kind of a sum. Yeah. So obviously a bit of overkill. So I guess actually I should be very careful. But so this kind of one explanation is trust me about this formula, but I'll just take a little detour. So you don't need to know about this. But so there's actually a way of just representing this in terms of a sum, of just a sum of many, many, many terms added together. And so that, I don't know if you know that notation, but so that's kind of the notation for a sum. So for example, so if we have something like this, a simple sum from, we have a little I equals 1 and I equals 3 here, that just means we add up going from 1 to 3, so that's just 1 plus 2 plus 3. And that just tells you kind of where you start the sum, that tells you where you finish, and this tells you kind of what you sum up. So if we changed it to I squared, we sum up, so from 1 to 4, and what we sum up each time is the square of the number, the square of I. So that's just 1 squared plus 2 squared plus 3 squared plus 4 squared. So that's just the summation notation. And then, even that's, so when you do general relativity, you find even that's too complicated. Well, not too complicated, but too much. So physicists, they just leave out the sum, and it's kind of implicit. You just need to know that you meant to sum. But it all works out. So that's really... summation notation. And so it turns out that, and this is kind of an unusual sum from 0 to infinity, and actually I'll use j, a different letter. And, oh, okay, so you can put the I theta there and the brackets around like that. So it turns out that can be represented by the sum of all these terms. And the factorial, again, I'm sure you all know what this is, but J factorial equals 1 times 2 times 3 up to J. So, okay, so that's what the sum is there. And so I saw some people, so I really shouldn't have rubbed that out, so I'm just going to write down what was there before. But, okay, so cos theta can be actually written as a sum, and so explicitly it is plus can you see that? No, okay, so maybe we'll write it here. Okay. And you keep on going like that. And sine theta equals theta minus plus, okay. And then plus theta. Okay, no, that's bad. I need to write smaller. And then keep on going. And so I'll leave it as an exercise for you to actually show that if you add up this series multiplied by I and this series, you actually end up with this series here. So essentially, this gives you all the odd ones where I equals odd, and this gives you all the even ones, and you get the odd and even ones, all the odd and even numbers or terms in this series, and it turns out you can do that, and that's how you can actually prove this. So again, you don't really need to know that, but I'd like to go through that. So okay, so that's the formula we have. And we're kind of going back here. So what we do then, we just use Euler's formula that we've learned and just basically decompose into the sines and cosines. So we get, okay. Yeah, this is a bit better. So we are. And then basically we will just soon find that it really just pops out because pi over 4. Make sure brackets there, plus, I'll put the sign. Oops, sorry. Yep. Do that. Okay. So this can't go. If I write down there, can people see?
Yes.
Yep, okay, good. Okay. And then, okay, you can see where this is going. 1 over root 2 plus 1 over root 2. And then we'll put the I up top there. 1 over the root 2's cancel out, giving us 1. And then plus I, which is exactly what we have. So what we can see is that is a polar representation of 1 plus I. So the initial problem that we had was, sorry?
There's one.
Okay, so we had this 1 plus I, so we can just rub this out. And we can put it in the I pi over the one there. So same thing, different representation. Okay, so now things are a lot easier. So basically we're there, we're home. And we just multiply this out. So 2, the root 2 is 2 to the half, and to the half to the n multiplied by e to the I to the order of the power n, and then we just multiply the exponents together, so we get 2 to the power of half is the square root, and to raise that to the power n, and we raise something to the power of n, we multiply here the exponents, so we get 2n divided by 2, and here multiply that out by e to the I, so okay, and I think that's the answer to the first part. So that's the answer. Okay, and then just substitute n equals 10 in there. That gives you 32, and that actually gives you 'i', because that's the same as pi over 2, and which actually, so the answer is 32 I there, because so essentially we have pi over, so e to the pi 5 over 2, and what that is equal to is e to the 4 pi over 2 I multiplied by e to the pi over 2 I, but that's just e to the 2 pi I multiplied by that, and if you actually put in Euler's formula 2 pi, you get the cos of 2 pi, which is 1, the sine of 2 pi, which is 0, so you don't get any imaginary component, and the real component is just 1, so that's equal to 1 there, so that's 1, that goes away, and you're left with just pi over 2, and if you look, the cosine of pi over 2 is 0, and the sine of pi over 2 is 1, but we're left with the I, so we actually just get I there, which is where that comes out. And so that's the answer to the next one. So probably the easiest way is to see, well, if you actually just put sine, maybe the easiest way to see that is doing that, and that will give you, that gives you I. So, okay, so that's the answer to that problem. So, and on the way, so it's kind of complicated, on the way I basically taught you half of the stuff I was going to teach you elsewhere now, so that's good. Okay, so we have one complex number, we know what they are. We need to add them together. So sometimes you can add normal numbers together. Does anyone have any questions about that? Is everyone happy? Is that hands up who thought? Hands up who'd like me to spend more time on that? Okay. Right. Everyone okay?
Hands up.
Sorry?
Hands up. Confused.
Your hands up if you're completely confused. Okay. Perhaps if you think I'm a fantastic lecturer. Okay. Okay, so it's good. So I'll just take a deep breath. So, is there any particular bit you're completely confused about? Or sorry?
The bit that's on the 3 blackboards.
Right. So it's really transforming between the topolar coordinates, that's kind of Okay. Okay, so I'll just take a deep breath and go to a clean blackboard. Okay, so... Okay. So... Okay, it'll soon be very messy. I'll see to that. So... So I guess, so this makes sense, so the most obvious way to... If we have a point and it's... three, two, so I guess that makes sense. The most obvious way to plot that is just using the x-coordinate and the y-coordinate. But there's nothing really special about those coordinate systems. And so, again, we've got this idea of sort of polar coordinates. Actually, I've got an idea. So I'll give you a problem now. So that's in x, y coordinates. That's the x coordinate there and the y coordinate. So what I'd like you to do now is a question, and kind of this should bring out all the ideas and let me see where people are. So actually, I better check the, make sure the numbers are a bit better. So let's just change this to, that's good. Numbers, so, okay, so if we have, root 3 over 2, this should work out, and half. So questions? Okay. Okay. So does everyone have to have their little whiteboard thingies? Okay, so what I'd like you to do now is to answer that question for me. And that question there. So we've got this point, it's root 3 divided by 2, a half. So there, that's the x-coordinate and the y-coordinate. I'll just fix that up. So... So it's not really the scale. And so if you just, that's, you change it to the other coordinate system. And so what I'll do is I'll think up another problem now for those, if this is too easy for you. So I'll give you 5 minutes on that, and give me 1 minute, I'll come up with another problem extra.
Damien.
Yep.
You just represented like an x, y,
so if you represent it as, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So, does that make sense? Okay. Okay. So... Hey, Michael. Would you be able to... Hold on, a couple of guys there. Just down. Yep. Okay. 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 Okay, so if you've got the first one, there's one a little bit harder. Sorry? Yes, coming. Okay. So to prove that,
one of the
Have you done them all? You have? You've got the answers? How many extras? Hey, how are you? How are you going? Okay, how did you handle it? Okay, how did you get it? Can you explain? I don't So the easiest way is to actually X could be anything. X could be choose, define, X could also be your order. So let, or X equals like, and then you sub point here, there. So we got the sum, we can break it up to two. Yeah, right. So the R value, that's a distance of my
origin.
And the exactly. Yep. And since I've known, so just the way. Just as we can Hey, 3 more minutes. 2 more minutes. Has anyone done all the questions? You've done them? Okay. Extra. Think up a question for yourself. Your Okay, 1 more minute. What was the first extra question? Okay. So, if I can have your attention now. So what we'll do is, so I think, does anyone want me to go, so we've got a lot of questions here. Does anyone want me to go over that? Does everyone kind of feel like you're happy with that? Okay. Oh, the, The answer is R equals 1 and Z equals pi and 6. So it's really, sorry? Oh. Yep, so it's just really
1, comma 3.
So,
if you solved that in degrees, it would be 1, comma 30 degrees.
Oh, yep. Okay, thank you for that. Yep. So, so 30 degrees or 5/6 radians. Okay. Okay. So the extra question. Hands up who feels like they've got that. Okay. Okay, so I'll go through that. So that's a little bit tougher. So I'll just kind of sketch it here, but so we know that's true, that's the power series for e to the x. So that goes 1 plus x plus and just keeps on going. So the thing, x could be anything we like. It could be pi, it could be 4.5. And so if it could be anything, why not let x equals I theta. And so if we let x equals I theta, this becomes we just substitute x for I theta in there. So like that. And so essentially what we do, we kind of just massage it and transform it. So what we want this is to end up looking like sine and cos. Or we want it to actually be cos plus I sine. And if we go back to this board here, then we know that sine cos is actually a power series there. And that's actually equal to so cosine, let's see. So if you look at that, we've got the squares, the power of 4, power of 6, 8, etc. So it's all the even numbers. And so we can represent that as sum over so really the even numbers. And down in the denominator, we've got whatever the power is factorial. So we've got J factorial, so 2 factorial, 4 factorial, etc. And up top we have, again, we have, so it's theta, the power J. We've got to get the sign right. So we've got, it's where the power comes in. So, so that should be minus 1 to the J over 2 there. So that should work out. Okay. Because then, yep, that makes sense. So the first one, it's minus 1 to the 0, and anything to the 0 is 1, so we get plus sign. And the second one is minus 1 to the 1, which is just minus 1. we get this minus sign, and then minus 1 squared, which gives us 1, which gives us this plus sign here and so forth. Okay, so that's right. But, so... okay, so we have that. And then it turns out, so that's equal to... So that's equal to minus 1 to the half to the j. So all we've done is we've just changed the exponentials around, because really j divided by 2 is equal to j multiplied by 2. J divided by 2 is equal to j multiplied by a half. So we just put the half inside square brackets here, and j, and I get that. But, similar side to side. Great. Yep. Exactly what I was looking for. So that's I. So this is easier. So complex numbers. Okay. So we just put I in there.
This is for cos.
Yeah. So I'll draw a line there. So it's just for cos. Like that. Okay. Okay, so sorry for the confusion. Okay. Okay, so, and then we've got one thing to the power j, another thing to the power j, so we can actually combine those two together. We can multiply the I by the theta, and we just get I by theta all to the power j, divided by j factorial. And so that's what, and that's actually equal to equal to cos theta. But so if we go back here, so we can actually break up the sum into the odd part and the even part. So is this making sense?
Yeah.
You want me to go faster? Slower? Okay. Right.
Do whatever you want.
I want to do physics. Okay. Okay. So obviously we can break it up. And then the even part, sorry, the odd part here. Like that. So, okay, so what we want to do is try and match these two up, and if you actually just put a circle around that, and put a circle around that, then you notice that, hey, they're exactly the same. So what we've shown is that e to the I theta equals equal to, and because we can just rub that out, we know that's cos theta. So so we can just rub that out. So what we know is e to the I theta equals cosine of theta plus something. And so what we want to get that something to be is I sine theta. And so what we'll actually see, so I'll go through this, and what you actually see is that turns out just as you're able to massage kind of this into the form of cosine, so basically you get the analogous thing for the sine. So okay. So I'm rubbing out the extra question, but hopefully everyone's got that written down. Okay, so we had 0, 2, 4 for powers. Here for the powers of this one, we have 1, 3, 5. So they're all odd numbers. So what we need to do is sum. Infinity here, and okay, so we have the factorial down the bottom, and that's j factorial there, because with the power 1, we have 1, which is 1 factorial is 1, and with 3, we have 3 factorial, 5, 5 factorial, 7, 7 factorial. So if we have j for the index here, we have j the factorial. So that makes sense. And so we've got also just before we put theta to the j here, and now we've just got to take care of these pesky minus signs we have here. So I think, sorry?
J minus 1.
So I think we want to, we could also do plus, no, let's do minus 1, I'm trying to think, okay, let's do J, actually, let's do J minus 1, okay, let's do that. Is everyone happy with that? So how does that work? So, no, that won't work. So one, so if we do, okay, so this is getting, so this will work. So, so 1 minus 1 gives 0, 2, 3, 2, so 3 minus 1, okay, yeah, 3 minus 1 gives 2, gives 1, that's right, okay, so that should, so 4, yeah, okay, so that works out. So that works out because, so for 1, 3, and 5, we get 0, which gives us minus 1 to the 0, which is plus 1, and 3, which gives us, so that gives us 1, which gives us minus 1 to the 1, which is minus 1, and gives 2, okay, plus 1. Okay, so that's what we've got there. So that's looking kind of like sine. So just cross that out, crop that out. So if we just put, this here, and so if we just see what's the easiest way of doing this, so okay, so we just kind of manipulate this, we have theta to the j, so we have this minus 1 to okay, yeah, okay, see how this is going to work out. So we have, okay, so we just divide those up like, basically we have j over 2 minus a half, so we just can take those out and we get minus 1 to minus a half, and then we get minus 1 to the half, and then all of that, the power of j as we had before. So, so sum here. Infinity j. So we know this is equal to I. So get rid of that. So we have I theta power j, and then we actually have this, and that's equal to. So that's actually not, there's no j's in there, so that's just a number, it's just a constant, it's not indexed. So we can just take that out front. So if we take that out front, that's equal to 1 over the square root. So it's equal to 1 over this, but that's equal to the square root of minus 1. Square root of minus 1, which is equal to I. So, it's true. Just want to include all the steps. So that's equal to, and that's actually 1 over I is equal to minus I. So, okay, so this is what we've got. Okay, so where were we? Okay, so that's what that is equal to. So okay, so sine theta. Okay, so that's what we think. Okay, so that's what sine theta is equal to. This is it. Therefore. Okay. Therefore, I sine theta, we've got to multiply by I, is equal to I multiplied by all of this, and if you multiply I by minus I, then you get 1. So then, okay, they cancel out. So good. So we get left with this. Okay. Okay, so we get, I think, with that. But if we go back to the other board and we look at this, then we see they're identical. They're exactly the same. So we can just get rid of this and replace it by I. Sine theta. So that's a proof. Okay. Sorry? Okay. So what we'll do is, so we'll leave the other two questions for later, and we'll just get on to some other things. So we're just going to finish up with complex numbers and start on matrices today. So, okay, so it took a little while, but we got there in the end. Okay, so adding two complex numbers up. So adding two complex numbers up, we add 4 plus 5, two ordinary numbers, that's simple. We have two complex numbers, u and v, and again we represent them in Cartesian coordinates, so we forget about...
V.
Oh, okay, right. Oops. Okay, so... Okay, thank you for that, Dennis. Right, okay, so... Okay, so as I was saying, so if we have u is a plus bi, so it's one complex number. So a and b, they're any real numbers. So they could be 3.4, 2.1, whatever. And v is c plus di. So way we add them is just add up the... So they've got a bit of a real component, a bit of an imaginary component, and just add up the two components. So we add up a plus c, they're the real components, and they give you a plus c, and then b plus d. And so the interesting thing is, so this makes sense, because imagine that B and D are zero. So if B and D are zero, then we just have two numbers in it, A and C, and we want to add them together, so we just do that. So that's adding up two complex numbers. Now you can do also multiply by two. Oh. Okay. So also multiply two complex numbers together. And if you do that, then basically the way is just expand out the bracket. So it's u multiplied by v, two complex numbers. And so u is a plus bi, so put that in the brackets around, and there are brackets around, the parentheses around c plus di, and then you multiply the two together, and so what you do is you actually get four terms. So just two terms, you get the four terms just expanding out normally, and you look at those, so you get the ac, and you get two terms with an I in there, and you can see they're ad plus bc, but you also get this final term in the end, bd multiplied by I squared. Now, we learned that if I is square root of minus 1, then I squared will actually just be minus 1. So we can kind of rub out I squared there and replace that by, that's right, replace that by minus 1. And so this is where the minus sign comes here from. So really, it's actually two, kind of weird, but two numbers with an imaginary component in it, and they're purely imaginary. And they actually end up canceling each other out, and you just get a real number. So this is the actual answer we have for multiplying two complex numbers together. So actually, we might skip that. We've also done enough exercises. So what I was going to do was talk about the absolute value. So the absolute value of things, otherwise known as the magnitude of a complex number. But we've kind of gone on to that already, because remember we were talking about r, so changing to polar coordinates, and this r value. And so, again, what this is like is kind of like the magnitude of a vector. So, you know, we might have a vector here, so again, normal Cartesian diagram, the x-axis, y-axis. And we have a unit vector x, which is just pointing in the x direction, it's length 1. And a unit vector y, pointing in the y direction, or up, and it's of length or magnitude 1. And so we can have this arrow here, that's a vector, magnitude and direction. And we can represent that by, say, 3x, so 3 units in the x direction. And that's a little arrow over the top there is what I use and using now to represent a vector. So that's something with an arrow at the top is a vector. So you may have seen there are a lot of different notations. Sometimes there's kind of a squiggle line, below. And you know, if you want to calculate the magnitude of that or the what that is equal to, just use Pythagoras. We've got a triangle here and it's right angle, and it's 3 units cross, 4 units up. And so the hypotenuse is 3 squared plus 4 squared, and then take the square root of all of that. And that gives us the side length here, the hypotenuse, which turns out to be the magnitude of that. And so we get basically exactly the same sort of thing with complex numbers, and they give us the value for r. So we saw this is a complex number 3 plus 4i. If we're going to kind of picture what's going on there, then we represent it here on the imaginary axis and the real axis. And what we do is we get u here, and that's the complex number, so u is a symbol for the complex number. And we want to find the magnitude of that, then we take the magnitude of the real component, we square that, exactly the same as we were doing the vectors before, and the magnitude of the imaginary component, square that, and then take the square root of the sum of the two, and what it gives us is exactly the same before. So it's just formally it's analogous, it's just different. And so in general, so if anyone gives you any complex number, u equals a plus bi, then that's the expression there for the magnitude of it. Again, writing out the magnitude of something is too long and complex, so I have this special symbol here, and two vertical lines between something denotes the magnitude of a vector. So we'll just finish up with complex numbers now. So we're talking about We talked about polar coordinates before, and I'm going to get out the big one. So we can represent any complex number in polar coordinates. So that's and when we do that, that's so it's known in polar form, but it's also known as a phasor. And they're incredibly useful for electronic circuits and wave analysis and also in quantum mechanics. They're really, really, really useful. And it's called a phasor because this is kind of like a phase. This represents it. So we kind of imagine this representing it on kind of an XY diagram or a Cartesian diagram, then this tells you just what angle we are around from, I guess it would be 3 o'clock in an anti-clockwise direction or a counterclockwise direction. And that's really, that tells you the phase of it, because the number here tells you, so it's like the phase of a wave. So it tells you where you are. So if you think of, I saw someone had up, graph of sine theta versus theta versus theta. Theta is what's termed the phase. It really just tells you how far along you are in terms of just how far along the sine wave you are. And this view now from Euler's form, it can be broken up into the sum of the sine component plus the cos component. And so the theta here plays the same role. So as a phase, and so that's why we call that a phasor. And so that's a different component. So we saw that there. Okay. So we've got probably about 5 more minutes before we go, but so that's it for complex numbers. So I won't start on matrices, because I'll just kind of start and have to stop. So okay, let's get an idea. Hands up who has learned matrices before. Hands up who feels pretty comfortable with matrices. Okay, that's good. So around about just over half the people. So pretty much what I'm going to go through is in the math primer. And I'll take us through most of the morning. We'll do that. But what we'll see is the reason why we do this is the two tools that, so the rest of the week I'm going to go through quantum mechanics. And you'll see exactly how it works. And the most complex, so we use matrices, which are not that complex, but you'll see exactly how it works. And the two mathematical tools we'll need are one, complex numbers, and two, simple matrices. They're kind of squares or tables for representing numbers together. So that's all you actually need. So the calculus, you'll actually may well need that for your mentor groups and understanding some of the keynote lectures. But the quantum physics, it will just be matrices and complex numbers. So, actually, in fact, I'll start on matrices. So, why not? So, we've got, okay. So, probably the simplest way, you've actually, even if you don't think you've come across matrices, you have actually come across them. Because you can think of a vector as a matrix. So, well, we have this vector up there, but we can represent that in terms of column. And we can actually represent that instead of as you can represent it like that, basically by taking the two coordinates, the x and y, and just putting them one above the other, and then putting some kind of square parentheses around that. And this is just a different way of representing this vector. And generally any vector we have, we can get a picture of here with point P and x and y coordinates, x and y values, could represent that P, well, I guess the vector version of that as a matrix with x and y coordinates. So if you have actually come across vectors before, then you actually implicitly have come across matrices. So this is one way of representing it. And so this is a matrix. It's sort of one mathematical object, but it doesn't have sort of one number there. So, but it has sort of two here. So it's a little bit more complicated. And if we had a three-dimensional diagram for x, y, and z, then P, we'd need three coordinates to represent point P. And because of that, we'd actually need a matrix or this sort of vector, which instead of having two elements, would have three elements. So really this is, it's exactly the same object as a vector, it's just representing it in a different form. So you saw with the two different notations for calculus, it was sort of Leibniz notations with the little sort of the quotation marks like this. That's Newton's notation, and then the Leibniz notation with the D's. And so they are the same thing, but they're just two different, in a sense, languages. And so, I mean, you all know about that. We have many people here that speak a lot of different first languages. And so here, these are just two different languages, mathematical languages, for representing the same thing. So this is a simple example of a matrix. And so the most complex matrices we'll be looking at are these. They're column matrices, just one column down there. And the way you kind of specify a matrix is by counting up the number of rows in it and the number of columns in it, and then representing it as, say, an m by n matrix. And an m by n matrix is one that has m rows. So count the rows as 1, 2 there, and the number of columns, that's 1. So in this case, it's just a 2 by 1, or a 2 multiplication symbol 1. So this is what we have. So what we'll see is, so if this matrix has 1 column, do we have to just limit ourselves to 1? Can we be bold? Can we have 2 columns? Maybe even, sure? Okay. So of course we can. And so we have 2 columns. So here's another example of a matrix. And this is as complicated as we'll get. This is as complicated as you need to know to understand quantum physics. Well, a lot of it. So I should say the mathematics of quantum physics. Because strangely enough, I think a lot of people think, well, you know, the physics is all fancy mathematics. I can show you lots of very famous physics papers that the mathematics, you could probably understand the mathematics. We'll be going through some of that. It's not just, physics is not just about mathematics. It's about the ideas and the concepts. And particularly, you'll see about quantum teleportation. And so the mathematics of quantum teleportation is actually pretty simple. But, and someone could have figured it out in 1927. So it actually been around. What it was actually figured out was 1993. And why was there this big gap of 70 or something years? It wasn't because, you know, Schrodinger and Heisenberg and Niels Bohr didn't understand the mathematics. So, you know, they understood it very well. But the point is, it's just the concept. And you just have to, often a lot of physics problems, you probably have this, you just kind of have to think about them in the right way. And when you do, it's suddenly like you get this aha moment, everything becomes simple. So what we'll see is none of the mathematics we do is scary at all. And not really none of the concepts are, but they just require a bit of thinking, which is what we're all here for. So that's an example of a matrix, and it has two rows, two columns. So it's a 2x2 matrix. And we'll look at some examples of that and how, so you can multiply, add two numbers together, you can add two matrices together. You can multiply two numbers together, you can multiply two matrices together. So really what we're going to do is matrix addition, matrix modification, and pretty much that's it. And the other thing, well, I'll mention that tomorrow. So the bus, so basically this, so the schedule is the bus is leaving at 15:15. So it gives everyone 6 minutes and 25 seconds. Well, I think it'll wait if a little bit late. So that's the end of the first day. Oh, right. So if you took out a calculator, we need it back. Yep.
And white boards and pens, can they stay there? Not using this tonight?
Actually, well, yeah, you can hand the whiteboards and the pens to the side of the